We ask all this in Jesus' powerful.
Well, kids, you are dismissed. So, Anita, where are you sitting? I think you're usually... Oh, there she is. Okay, I see her. Okay. Anita, you have a special guest with you today, Dina. I just want you to raise your hand. Is that okay? Or do you want to stand up? She's an incredible person, and I know that we just want to welcome Dina. And I don't know if you know this, but she's on a journey right now, and she has stage 4 cancer. And but her heart and her spirit and her mind are incredible, and she's an incredible encouragement to us. And we just want to say, hey, we're glad you're here and glad you're up and glad that God has given you the ability to be here today. And so just if you get a chance, love on her today. And I know that it means a lot to Anita as well. So another good announcement, just for fun, I want to throw this out there. Martha, is it okay? Where is she? Oh, she left out on me, but then I guess I can do it. We've been talking a lot about choir, and we know that coronavirus kind of shifted the way that choir has kind of functioned, but just to give you a heads up, they are planning for the fall with the summer. Oh, there you are. There's, I'm forgetting everybody's name, but Abby. Yeah, oh my goodness. Okay, you know, you get up here and everything goes by the wayside. So, sorry. Now I forgot what I was saying. But anyway, choir, yes. And so hold tight, because if you're interested in it, or if you're new with us and you like choir, well, it's coming back, and it's going to come back in the fall. And so just be prepared for that, and we'll start rehearsing and practicing and getting that stuff out there at the end of the summer. So something to look forward to. We know that the virus took so many things away, but we're going to start gaining some of those things back, so praise God. Well, I hope that you had a chance to read the entire book of Isaiah. Were you there? The entire book? I know it's a lot. After you read it, you'll say, yes, there's a lot in there. And it'd be hard to cover all of it on a Sunday morning. And so we've kind of just taken three places out of Isaiah. And Renisa, Kim, good to see you guys. Welcome back from Florida. We love y'all. But we're going to be in Isaiah 54 today. I'm a little bit like a squirrel sometimes. If you ask my wife, I can be all over the place. But we're going to ask the Lord to home me in. And we're going to be in Isaiah 54. And if you've studied the word, you will immediately know that Isaiah 54 is probably the prettiest passage or let's say chapter in Isaiah. It is a beautiful witness of God's love, his mercy, his grace, his goodness. It is all wrapped up in chapter 54. So if you have your Bibles, if you would turn there, and once you have that, if you would please stand with us today for the reading of God's word. Now, most of your Bibles at the top there, it's going to say the eternal covenant of peace. Isn't that beautiful? That should be a great reminder to us today, even before we read it, that we serve a God that's interested in creating an eternal covenant of peace with us. Sing, O barren one, who did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, you who have not been in labor, for the children of the desolate one will be more than the children of her who is married, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes, for you will spread abroad to the right and to the left, and your offspring will possess the nations and will people desolate cities. Fear not, for you will not be ashamed. Be not confounded, for you will not be disgraced. For you will forget the shame of your youth and the reproach of your widowhood. You will remember no more. For your Maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and the Holy One of Israel is your Redeemer. The God of the whole earth is he who called you. For the Lord has called you like a wife deserted and grieved in spirit, like a wife of youth when she is cast off, says your God. For a brief moment I deserted you, but with great compassion I will gather you. Think about that for a second. This is God speaking through Isaiah. For a brief moment I deserted you, but with great compassion I will gather you. In overwhelming anger, for a moment I hid my face from you. But with everlasting love I will have compassion on you, says the Lord your Redeemer. Isn't that beautiful? This is like the days of Noah to me. As I swore that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, so I have sworn that I will not be angry with you and will not rebuke you. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. And I think today we could say that that's speaking to us this morning. O afflicted one, storm-tossed and not comforted, behold, I will set your stones in anatomy and lay your foundation with sapphires. I will make your principles or pinnacles of a gate, your gates of carbuncles, and all your walls of precious stones. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace of your children. In righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near you. If anyone stirs up strife, it is not from me. Whoever stirs up strife with you shall fall because of you. Behold, I have created the smith who blows the fire of coals and produces a weapon for its purpose. I have also created the ravager destroyed. No weapon that is fashioned against you shall succeed. Come on now, church, this is a verse that we hold on to. And you shall refute every tongue that rises against you in judgment. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their vindication from me, declares the Lord. Heavenly Father, God, we come before you today. God, we come in humility. We come in readiness. We come in willingness. God, today we just pray that your glory would be known here this morning. We pray today, God, that you would speak, that you would use these words to challenge and encourage and send us out prepared to embrace your compassion and your love, and to be a people that share that compassion and share that love. Today, to God be the glory. Because without you, none of this is possible. Without you, we would experience only the destruction that the enemy has for us. And so today, because of that, we honor you, we glorify your name, and we pray that these words would become so real to our hearts. We pray against the enemy and his plans in the name of Jesus. We ask that you would cast it out. And today, Lord, let it be known that this is your word, that this is your way. And today, let us embrace it in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. So a lot of words there, and obviously I don't say them all right. One of my downfalls. But I want you to think about Isaiah 54 for a second. Most of us have read this all of our lives, and we're pretty familiar with it. But I want you to think that right in the beginning, Isaiah is instructed by God to speak to a barren people. What does that mean? Well, we know they went into exile, what? With great numbers. We know that as exile went on, and think about the conditions that they were in, the situations that they were facing, the opposition that they were facing, their numbers dwindled. Think about what happens when we come against opposition. But think about what happens when we spend 70 years in opposition, 70 years in things that God didn't intend us to be in. What does it do to us? Think about it. It destroys us. It tears us down. Let's just be real today. When we decide to step into plans that are not God's plans, when we decide to step into temptation, when we decide to go from looking at something to engaging in something that's not of God, it begins a destruction process. And here, Isaiah is speaking to a people that out of their disobedience found themselves in a rough situation, and not just for a month or 6 months or a year, but years and years. And years. In fact, we see here God speaking to a barren nation. But then he switches the tune. Now, why would he use the language barren? Well, we know that they know it well because out of a barren woman came the very nation that they're experiencing today, right? We know about this. Think about Sarah. Think about Rebecca. Think about those that were barren. And then God came and he switches his tune and all of a sudden says, begin to expand your territory. Begin to make the tent bigger. Whenever I talk to, and I don't ever really because I don't feel like an expert, every Sunday I feel unworthy to even come up here. But one of the things I tell young pastors, in fact, I said this to a pastor 2 weeks ago, just stepping into the pastorate, they said, what should I do to start out with? Well, first, you need to love the people, and second, you need to prepare for what's not there. Meaning, if there's no nursery, then don't live in that. Get a nursery worker in there, love on them, and say, one day God's going to bring. Why? Because God wants babies to know Jesus, and then families, and then parents, and then grandparents. And so you prepare for what's not there. And if you're not doing that, then you're not thinking about the heart of Jesus. See, all of a sudden, God said, expand the tent. Now, that doesn't make sense when you're barren, right? It doesn't make sense when people are dying because of oppression. It doesn't make sense when your numbers are down and you have plenty of space. Why would we add more space? And God said, because this isn't the end. God said, yes, I turned my face from you for a moment, but I'm about to turn my face towards you. Isn't that beautiful when we turn back to God and His face is there and our face is there and it meets together and the Spirit of God just... But see, this would be a hard message for the people of that day to receive because they have lived through the hardest days that they would have ever experienced. Thinking about exile in general is not fun. It was also a message saying, what you were, you will no longer be. Church, if you've been saved, you know. If you're living in holiness, you know that every day that we journey with Him, we were not and we are not what we were. We're the new creation. That's what He was saying. There's three things in this. If you break it into three sections, you'll see that there is the section which is the song, and then you have the restoration, and then you have security. So let's go through this today. Verses 1 through 4, and when you go home and you want to study, 1 through 4 is the song. Think about God's people. He's addressing them. Think about you today. Guess what? He's addressing you. These words are still true. These words are still big. These words are still powerful. There's a song here, and the song has to do with great loss. Now, many of you, I could say even in the last year to 2 years, have experienced some type of loss, whether it be a person that you were close to, whether it be a situation, whether it be finances, whether it be what used to be. We could all sit here today and say that what used to be a year and a half ago is no longer. There are times where I go into the grocery store now, and we don't go there very often because we go to pickup, which has changed our lives with 4 kids. We just drive up, they put our groceries in, but every time there is stuff that we order that doesn't get to the, are you with me on that? I don't know if you do it, and you get home, and it's like the one ingredient you really need, and then your wife turns to you and says, go back, we really have to have this. And so I get to go in, and I'll tell you, almost every time I walk to the door and I see the sign and I walk back to the car, and what do I get? My mask, right? I am 41, and I've been doing something the same way for a long time, which is you jump out, you jump in, and it's changed. And God is saying, the change that you're going to experience is going to be where I give a covenant like I gave with Noah. Church, that's big. We get a rainbow. We get a rainbow to remind us. I don't care what the rainbow means these days, but I'm telling you, the rainbow has meant and will continue to mean for me a promise. And He was about to say again, I am giving you a new promise. And He refers to Noah in this song. Now, if you want the theological part in number 3 there, I have to read it because I won't get it right. 3 imperatives plus 2 imperfect verbs with an imperative force pointed to the need for the people to be prepared to expand because the blessing was coming. That's how it's written. Are you all good with that, my language teachers? That's it. That's it. I took that right out of the commentaries, and so that's not my own. But here's the thing. What God was saying is you better get a song on your heart, even in your barren state. It's hard in our barren state to have a song. My wife loves kids. She wants to have more. I told her naturally I'm done. And so that's because it took us a lot to have our second and then our third set. Anita, and they understand that. And it took a lot for that. Why? Because all of a sudden after Janae, Ashley's womb was barren. Or maybe it was me. We really don't know. But it took a lot to. But in that, God continued to say, celebrate, I know your heart. But see, it's hard for us in a season of barrenness to celebrate. What God was saying here was, trust me and celebrate. Don't let the enemy rob your song. Don't let the enemy rob your joy. Know that as you turn to me, I turn to you. And think about these four statements this morning. This is what this song is telling us. The spaces where you thought God had left you is actually the setup for the greatest things he is going to do. Meaning he was saying, yes, you're barren. Yes, you've lost most of your population. But guess what? When it's all said and done, I'm going to. Now you say, that's not who our God is. Yes, look at Job. Come on now. We could go through the whole Bible. Look at right after the Holy Spirit coming down. Thousands came, thousands that had heard. Now all of a sudden, they not only heard, but they connected with their heart. And it changed everything. It's why the governments didn't like Christians. Because it changed the whole world. People weren't coming by the tens, they were coming by the thousands. And so I'm sorry, when the Lord comes and your heart of righteousness matches his heart of righteousness, the barrenness is history. There is always a space that we are unaware of where God is already working and preparing for us to step into. But you know what the problem is that we have abandoned these kind of thoughts as a church. We've put God in a box. We've expected him to. And God is saying here, you don't need to know, but you need to listen. You need to prepare. With a song in your heart, start getting those tents bigger. Start putting the tent makers to work. What's sweet is the people started to listen. Isaiah said, sing before you see. Isaiah said, praise before you step. Come on now, it's hard for y'all, isn't it? It's hard for me. It's okay. But the instruction here is God was saying, get ready, because the setup is just the beginning. Whatever you lose in this season, don't you ever let the enemy steal your song. And you know what? As I studied this and I read what John Wesley said, we're in a season of loss because the enemy is constantly at our bodies, at our families, at our friends. But guess what? As John Wesley said, don't let the enemy steal your song, because your song is your connection with the Lord. And your reminder that here is just temporary. Your reminder that here is just the setup for glory. Man. God said, sing. And guess what? God is still saying, sing. God is saying, sing with stage four. God is saying, step out even though. But see, oftentimes, the barrenness comes, and the enemy not only takes that, but he takes our song. And I think as Christians, we have to start rebuking that in the name of Jesus and saying, you know what? No. No. My soul is still his. Think about restoration. Now, I don't know if you watch TV that much, but there is show after show after show about restoring stuff. Isn't that the truth? I mean, HGTV 10 years ago looks totally different than it does now. Now, everybody has a show. I'm like, look, I want to start just remodeling. I mean, you would imagine but remodeling houses just to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, think about it. Think about Magnolia. I mean, they went from like little Waco. When I grew up as a teenager, Waco was wacko because of, you know, Koresh and all that mess. I hate to even say that here, but that's all I thought of. And you know what Waco mayor has said? Magnolia, not Baylor University, Magnolia has completely turned that city around. We've been there. It's incredible, and it keeps expanding. It's beautiful if you ever get to go. But think about restoration. What does it do? It takes shambles and brings beauty. We usually watch the shows and kind of forward through from the beginning to the end. We see the beginning, and then we go and look at the end, and it's incredible what they can do. Well, I promise you, when God begins to restore a nation, when God begins to restore a people, when God begins to speak with language like this, the restoration is beyond what we could expect. It's beyond what we could prepare for. All things. He was saying through Isaiah, all things will be restored. Now there is a but for those that remain righteous. Israel opted. Now think about why this restoration had to come. Israel opted to embrace her lovers, disregarding the loyalty required by God. How often do we embrace our lovers? And you say, well, what kind of language is that? That's theological language. It is. Yes, they embraced more than people. They were lover of things. They were lover of places. They were lovers of each other above lovers of God. And they were willing and ready, and God was willing and ready to bring restoration to this. It also, God was taking shame, and he was flipping it. And he was saying, the shame of your youth will no longer be the shame that you live in. He also referred to himself as the spouse, as the husband of the church, as the husband of his people. It also says that he admits, now this is where we don't like to go theologically, but he admits that he turned his back for a moment on his people in anger. And tell me God doesn't change his mind. Tell me you can't pray today and something can't happen. I just don't believe it. Because something happened. God looked out and saw and had compassion. And he came and from his anger, he turned his eyes back to his people. It says it right there in the scripture. For a brief moment, I deserted you. But, come on church, wherever you are today, wherever you are, whatever situation you're in, but with great compassion, I will gather you. Which speaks straight to restoration. So there's this relationship between the nation of Israel and between God. Your husband there, meaning the Lord Almighty is his name. Meaning you're first and foremost committed to and connected to not the person next to you, not the person that has gone on, not the person that you love the most, to God. He was reestablishing. He also here gives us a beautiful, beautiful picture into the future of when Jesus is going to come and restore his people because he says, I'm your Redeemer. And we all know what Redeemer means. Aren't you glad today that you serve a Redeemer? Think about this covenant, and we talked about this for a second. I swore and I have sworn. And now he's saying, I have sworn not to be angry with you or to rebuke you. And you say, well, wait a minute. We know what happens. Well, somehow, some way, he's not going to do this same action ever again. Which means somehow, some way, when you're ready to turn back to him and live in righteousness, he's going to look to you. Think about this idea of restoration, this idea of what is barren, what is dead in your life, what you feel like could never be, can be. Why? Because if you look at the words used, H-E-S-E-D, unfailing love. It's hard to have unfailing love, isn't it? Because we got people around us that are hard to love, right? You can just laugh at that and say it's true some days. If I stop by on a Tuesday in the afternoon and things aren't going well, I just say, well, that's part of life, right? I mean, but see, that's not how God is. He's saying here, my unfailing love will exist between you and I. He also talks about this covenant of peace. This covenant of peace. In fact, this whole chapter is about a covenant of peace with his people, with you. And everything that was said, everything that was done, all the years of exile was about to be abandoned by God. All the years, all the moments, all the steps, where you've turned, where you've been disobedient, he's willing and ready to say, let's create a covenant of peace. And this covenant was marked by a mutual commitment. The Lord who takes you back in love. Isn't it beautiful that the Lord takes us back in love? He doesn't take us back in a spanking. He doesn't take us back in a Now you say, well, I don't know, Pastor. I mean, I've gone through some things because of my disobedience. Well, I've gone through some things because of my sin. I didn't say that you won't go through some things. You know, when you entangle yourself with the enemy, usually however long you've entangled, you've got about that time to get unentangled. But it doesn't mean that God's not with you. It doesn't mean that God's not walking with you. It doesn't mean that he isn't. So let's talk about the last thing. Security. Y'all like security? Yeah, I like security. My wife, oh gosh. I can get duped. Was it a Saturday? Oh, in Nacogdoches. And Nacogdoches is like a really, really safe place. Very little crime. And the neighborhood we lived in was like extra safe. They only had one event, right? And it was a, what's that called? When it happens in your house? Domestic. My goodness, my mind is lost today. It's COVID. Anyway, just blame it on COVID. You know what I'm saying? That works. But domestic. And so it was only one thing that ever happened in that neighborhood. It was domestic. Well, you know, the security guy comes by and he starts giving you stats and stuff. And my wife was gone. And before you knew it, I had, what was it, $58 a month? It was $58 a month for 3 years, and I mean, I had everything. You could look at the house from, like, your phone at every angle, and the alarm was supposed to go off and in such a distance. And the one day that our neighbor's across the street, and she said, my goodness, it looks like you're getting a really nice system put in. And she said, you know, we don't have any crime here. And I said, well, you know, they had that one incident, and across town there was something. And she looked at me, and she was like, they really got you. And I said, just don't tell my wife, okay? So just... I think they did, but I already signed. And so I don't normally do that, but they had me in such an emotional state that I thought, well, if I don't do this, you know, they're not going to be protected. And so anyway, we lived through that 3 years. And I'll tell you, when I came home, or when she came home, and finally, did I tell you right away? That's right. Oh, gosh, yeah, she was in the hospital at Shreveport with the baby, yes. And I was here signing us up for stuff. But anyway, I'll tell you, he made me feel so secure, and I called her up, and after I got enough umption to realize, like, what the initial, because you got to pay for the equipment, and then the monthly, and then I called her, and she wasn't happy. So anyway, and never did we have to use it. The only benefit was you could unlock the door if you were away. I don't know if y'all have that, but that was pretty nice, because, I mean, they took out our door handles and everything, and so he assured me that it was going to be very safe. And nothing ever happened and still hasn't happened in that neighborhood. So but think about it. Security, I mean, there is something about having security. And there was something about the people were not secure. They had feelings of abandonment. Even though they were the ones that turned their backs on God, there was still a feeling of abandonment. There was still a feeling of God will never take us back. It'll never be the same. And God was coming in somehow, some way, with a change of heart that said, it won't even be like before. It'll be better than before. Church, aren't you glad that when you turn back to God, he has promises where, you know what it was before? I'm going to make sure it's even better. Now, that doesn't make any sense in our humanness. Why? Because we want an eye for an eye. But here God was saying, no, that's not my theory and that's not my way. In fact, if you'll come unto me, I'll put you before the one that's been serving for... Now see, we don't like that in the church because I've been serving for 41 years and Lord, you're going to let... And he says, yes, I've been doing that for a long time. Just be glad you get to be. Right? Imagine if we had that kind of heart. And see, they were afflicted. They were tossed to and fro. They had no comfort. Death was all around them. Loss was all around them. They weren't who they used to be. And God, he came in and said, I'm going to secure you. I'm going to give you peace. I'm going to say everything's going to be okay. Yahweh, God was talking about how the city state would be even grander, even better, even bigger than before. He actually used language and said, get the tents and make them bigger. Get the area and spread it out. He was doing a new thing. He was speaking peace and security. And he was saying that no weapon that is fashioned against you. In fact, if you go even before that, behold, I have created the smith who blows the... See, I love this. I don't think we get this thread in the Bible. And I've been trying to pull it out to you, but the way that God and the way that Jesus speaks and the way Jesus spoke, he spoke in such a way that said, I know you think that boat is yours, but I created the elements that created the boat. You, in fact, didn't. Do you get this? He's saying, I created the ability to do the blowing. And then I created the stuff that you're going to blow into. Are you getting this? God is saying, stop. Stop being concerned. Because the iron's actually, your heart is actually, if you'll just, righteousness will lead you to security. Now the lack of a righteous heart, or the steps of those that aren't living in righteousness, that's a different story. But today he's calling us, and that day he was calling his people into righteousness. The problem, if you go back the 70 years, the problem pre and the problem now is that we want other things. And God was saying, if you'll just want me, expand your tents, and a lot of the desires you have right now, you will receive. If you'll just... So think today. Mary, are you okay with... I want you to think about these three things. Do you have a song in your heart? And if you do, celebrate it, remain in it, and keep it. Because our song isn't dictated by our situation. God was saying through Isaiah, keep your song, because I'm still God. And your barrenness will soon turn to... Maybe today your song is gone, and you just want to say, you know what, I know you, God, but I've lost my song. I've lost my joy. I've lost my ability to see you in this. I don't know if that's you. Don't worry about the people around you. Come and talk to them and ask him for that song back. Maybe you're in a place where you need to be restored. Where you just, all you can think about is all the things that you lost. All the people around you that are, all the stuff that you once, or maybe there's a place in your heart that's been robbed by someone else. And you just can't, and you want to say to God today, can you restore that place? Can you come in and think about it? 70 years later, and I hadn't thought about this till I read what some theologians said. There are a lot of people there that had nothing to do with why they were in the place they were in. They were born after it. All they knew was this destruction and loss and death, and they didn't actually know what real like life looked like. And some of you, you've been there. Everything around you, you didn't have anything to do with, and yet you're there. Yet you're saying, God, why did you let me? So maybe today you just need to ask him for restoration. And then maybe today you just don't have peace. Or maybe you do in some parts of your life, but in other parts of your life, you just can't seem to. It's what keeps you up all night. It's what plagues your mind. You know, God can come in and provide a tremendous amount of peace in those areas. And maybe today none of this makes sense because you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And maybe today you're looking at this and saying, you know, I would like a song that comes from somewhere else. I would like to be restored because so much has been taken away. And I would like some peace because I've put peace all around me, but I still don't have peace. And if that's you today, maybe you just need to come down and say, Lord, come into my heart today. So why don't we just bow our heads, take a moment. You may want to do it at your seat. You may want to come to the altar. But why not just take a moment and connect with the Lord this morning? Heavenly Father, God, we just want to thank you right now for these words. It's hard not to read this chapter and see your character and your heart and your love for us. It's also hard not to read and see the desire you have for us to be one with you. It's also hard to read this and not realize that not only do you want us with you, but you want to take us from a dry and desolate place and bring us to a place of bounty, beauty, fulfillment, peace. And so, Lord, today, let us be willing to trust and obey, even in the things we can't see. And God, we ask today that you would go and minister with the hearts that are here. God, that you would embrace them today. God, that you would be with them. And God, that most of all, you would just reveal yourself, your heart, your ways. And God, let us be teachable. Let us be willing. Let us be open. God, we pray against mistruth. God, we pray against the schemes that are not of you. God, that you would cast them out. And God, we pray today that you'll protect the people sitting here, that you'll protect them as they go out, that God, you'll embrace them no matter what they're facing or encountering or going through. God, continue to be with AFC. Continue to guide us and God, continue to set us forth. God, I just have somebody on my heart too. God, I pray for Julie as she sits up there. Lord, I pray that you would just embrace her today, God. She would love on her. God, be with Dina as she sits there, and Lord, give her strength today. God, encourage her spirit. And so, Lord, today we just praise you. We honor you. God, we thank you for those that are back. Lord, embrace them. Keep them healthy and safe. And God, we just ask that you would go forth, be in the classes that are going to happen downstairs. God, embrace each one of those leaders. Use them as your mouthpieces. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank